Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
My next guest is Daily Maverick journalist and author Rebecca Davis is on the line with us. They've been doing the rounds as well as many of us have. Rebecca, thanks so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You've highlighted an area in the Northwest that you say is one of those areas, almost forgotten kind of area, and observations about how they intend to vote and their history in turning up at the ballot. Very, very interesting. Maybe locate that area for us, Rebecca.
So the area I was writing about that you're referring to is called Pomfret in Northwest Province. It's right up close to the Botswanan border. It's about 2 hours from the nearest big town, which is Vryburg. It's very, very isolated, is what we're saying. And it is part of a municipality which notoriously has the lowest voter turnout in the entire country. That's Kagisano Moloba, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And it is a place which has a 47% voter turnout, which is about 10% lower than the rest of the province and substantially lower than the rest of the country.
Mm. And why is that, Rebecca?
Well, this is what we went to find out. And Pomfret, I don't know if you or your listeners will have any idea, but it has a very strange history.
Yes.
This is a former army barracks that is home to a number of Angolan fighters. About 1,000 of them were resettled here after the South African border war in 1989. Now, it's a kind of forgotten period of South African history. But in the South African border war, while the apartheid military was fighting against the communist regime in Angola and also in Namibia, they recruited a number of black Angolan soldiers to fight with them. These soldiers were incredibly effective for the apartheid military because they could speak Portuguese. They could go into Angola and be very effective, and they could communicate with local villages, etc. And they were part of this kind of elite unit in the apartheid military called the 32 Battalion. 32 Battalion became renowned as one of the best fighting forces in the world. But what happened, of course, is that that war ended, and, of course, democracy came to South Africa. And what happened was that these soldiers were kind of stranded because Angola and Namibia did not want to take them back because they had been fighting against their own people. And the democratic government in South Africa, the ANC, obviously was not particularly keen on them either since they had collaborated with the apartheid military. But the apartheid government gave them South African citizenship and effectively kind of stranded them in this very deserted town at the top of the country called Pomfret, where they have been sort of stranded ever since.
I found your engagement with one or two of the people there really, really interesting, and how they think through, you know, why they're there, how they would vote, and who they would, you know, pledge allegiance with because of their history. Just give us a sense of your conversations with one of them.
Absolutely fascinating. So we had no idea going in that we went there because we wanted to understand why this place has such a low voter turnout, especially because even though they are originally Angolan, these people have South African citizenship and they can vote. And what we found was when you go into this place, which is kind of, it's really one of the strangest places I've ever been in South Africa because it's this kind of deserted, crumbling army barracks where thousands of people still live. There's just no industry, nothing. There's no jobs. But they live in this place. And all you will see when you go there is DA posters. And the people there will tell you, and these are black people, they will tell you they want to vote for the DA because the people they trust are white. They trust white people because the white apartheid government were the people they were fighting for and the people who brought them to Pomfret. And now they want to vote effectively for what they consider to be a white government. Now, I'm sure the DA isn't happy to hear that their reputation among these people is that, like, you vote for the DA, you get a white government. I'm sure that's horrifying to the DA. But this is what they think. And they told us openly. They said, white men brought us here. We want to vote for white people again.
I'm curious, Rebecca, whether the age made any difference, you know, whether this is a sentiment of the older generation, perhaps, and maybe the younger people had a different view on this.
Yeah, I too was interested in that. So what I found among the people I spoke to was, so there are the fighters from the 32 Battalion, they're old now, they're in their 70s.
Yes.
These were the men who were telling us they want to vote for the year. Their children were more likely to just say, we don't want to vote at all. And but they consider themselves second generation Angolan, they speak Portuguese, etc. But then you also have South Africans in the mix, Tswana people who are married to Angolans, and they were much more cagey. They were, you know, they were not about to say they were voting for the DA. They also were like, we just don't want to vote at all. But among that older generation, they're like, we are not for the ANC. But let me also clarify this. The reason why they don't want to vote for the ANC, it seems, is that they believe that they're being punished for their collaboration in apartheid. And the reason for that they believe that is because services have been cut off to this town. So this is a town where, as I said, like thousands of people do still live. There's a functioning school, etc. They have not had electricity of any form since 2015. They don't have water. They have a couple of boreholes, but that's it. They say they don't have one basic service. So their feeling is that they are being punished for what happened in apartheid. If you speak to the government, to, you know, to the ANC as well, they will say, look, this community is a problem for us because they live in this place, Pomfret, which is adjacent to a deadly asbestos mine, which is true. The asbestos mine closed in the late 1980s. But as anyone knows who lives close to an asbestos mine, that is deadly for health. Like if you so much as breathe the fumes of an asbestos mine, it can really cause serious health problems. The government will tell you they want to move people out of this area because of their health.
Sure.
But over the past, there have been questions about whether that is in fact the reason or whether it's also the fact that this particular place has been a recruiting hub for mercenaries. And that is because you had all these soldiers from the 32 Battalion, as I said, regarded as one of the most elite fighting forces in the world, who then were in this place where they had nothing to do and no money. And what would happen is that foreign people would come there and be like, will you fight for us? So in 2004, for instance, there was an attempted coup in Equatorial Guinea.
Yes.
And somewhere around eight of them, I think, ended up spending a year in Zimbabwe jail because they had tried to participate in that coup.
Yes.
They've been called upon to fight in places like Iraq and Afghanistan because they do have these elite skills. So another theory, which obviously the government will deny, is that the government felt uncomfortable about having these highly skilled fighters who had seemed to have opposed the liberation movement in this one town and, you know, are maybe hoping to diffuse the kind of potential for danger from that by moving these people to other areas. They don't want to move. They say, where are we going to move to? We have large houses. We've been settled here for like 30, 40 years. Don't try and move us. Whereas the government says, look, you know, there's this asbestos mine. We kind of have to.
Sure.
It's a fascinating situation.
So the ward councillors, what party actually governs that area?
So it is an ANC municipality.
Yeah.
They say the ANC never comes there. I mean, I was traveling through the Northwest and Northern Cape last week, and, you know, this is something you hear a lot. We only see politicians when it's election,
5 years,
etc.
Yeah,
exactly. Technically, it is an ANC place. There was something like 5% support for the DA. And I guess that's because these fighters make up a small minority. There are two other towns in the municipality, Ganyesa and another one, and those places deliver more of an ANC vote. But technically, it is an ANC controlled municipality.
You know, you mentioned the fact that there are no real basic services. But when you speak to them, you know, what are their ambitions? What are their goals? What are their dreams, especially the young people?
I cannot tell you what a depressing place it is. In terms, like, there's a... I mean, I don't mean to get melodramatic because we know there's a lot of places in South Africa that are like this, particularly in the rural areas. There's a creche there. You know, I have a four-year-old son. If my four-year-old son was in a creche like this, I would be beside myself just because it's so dilapidated, it's dirty, etc. But that is the only place for the kids to go. When they say they have no basic services, I think they are telling the truth. Some people have solar, etc., but it is just a place that has been abandoned by the authorities. And, you know, the feeling is that there are probably quite a few of these places. This has an unusually unique history because of its... situation with these Angolans who collaborated with the apartheid regime. But in some ways, it's a microcosm of what happens in these far-flung towns in South Africa, particularly out near the border where no one really goes. You know, there are no nurses, and they just get on with life. And at the same, you know, I asked these people, why don't you move? And
yes,
they just said, where the hell would we move to? We don't know what we do. We have homes here. They tried to move some of us to Mafikeng. But at the same time, then we wait for an RDP house. Here, at least in this crumbling army barracks, there are homes that we still live in. It's just that we don't have services.
Do they have a high school, Rebecca?
They have a combined primary and high school called the Pica-Pau School. I mean, I can't explain how surreal it is because everything is named in Portuguese, right? It's like this weird little Angolan enclave in South Africa, but they do. They have a combined primary and high school, which has about 170 students. So there's life there. It's just life of a kind that many of us in South Africa find very hard to recognize.
And the reason I ask is that one would imagine, you know, they would have to leave, especially the young people, if they need to further their education. They would have to sort of up and leave. They can't stay there because that's it.
That's right. And even the teachers at the school, I was asking them, they don't live there. They live in neighboring towns. They drive in. There simply are no jobs. There's nothing. It's just a community that has been effectively marooned by history. Yeah. And, you know, there's just something South African about it because it's just like brutal, complicated history. Mm. These are people who, obviously, in many people's eyes, well, have done horrendous things because after they were deployed in Angola and Namibia, they were deployed in the South African townships. 32 Battalion became very notorious because they were used to diffuse tensions between the IFP and the ANC in the early 90s. And they were accused of extreme human rights violations. Mm. But at the same time, in many ways, these men were victims themselves. They found themselves on the wrong side of the political regime in Angola. They didn't know where to turn. They were offered these jobs by the South African apartheid, and they took them. And now are in a kind of limbo land where they can never return to their homeland.
Fascinating story. Really appreciate it. Rebecca Davis is from Daily Maverick. She's a journalist there. She penned this piece. And go to the Daily Maverick platform. I'm telling you, it's a fascinating, fascinating story. And that a little area she's talking about is called Pomfret. P-O-M-F-R-E-T. As she said, the history there, quite fascinating. And almost a forgotten little town in South Africa. And as you know, South Africa is complex like that. 20 minutes after 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.